7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Welcome to another Croc podcast with another great subject, with another great co-host, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, you look a little green around the gills.
I do. I almost feel like a little Barry White-ish with the, you know, but that's all right. Listen, you can feel sick on the outside. Actually, you can feel sick on the inside, look sick on the outside. But when you're doing something that's great for other people, you feel healthy all around.
There you go. That's the right answer. So we're going to try to make this a quick podcast because I know you don't feel good. But I have really an exciting podcast and a really nice story actually to share that motivated me to do this particular podcast. As you know, we're sort of in the middle of, you know, doing a theme of what you're looking for in your doctor kind of thing. We talked about the concept of changing doctors and how to do it and second opinions and things like that. And I was watching TV the other day with my Nana, with my mother-in-law, and we were watching Texas Ranger. That's her favorite show in the entire world. Chuck Norris against the world. And when Chuck Norris on that particular channel, I don't know if it's AMC or what it is, they have these very, very long commercials and they're all very heartbreaking, actually. One is for the ASPCA where you think, oh my God, I want to adopt every dog and cat on earth. And then they have the, you know, the St. Jude's with the childhood cancer and terrible, terrible, terrible things. And then you're looking at Stand Up to Cancer, which is a fundraiser where the big comedians, you know, donate, I guess, part of their shows or whatever, and they help with cancer research. And it was a very delightful commercial. And, you know, I was looking at all the doctors and they were telling, you know, their story is, you know, what they do and why they're so motivated to do what they do. And there was this very lovely young doctor, Dr. Kim Stegmaier, who was talking. She's a pediatric oncologist at Dana-Farber at Harvard. And she was going through a story about a particular young patient that she was taking care of. And she sort of choked up. And, you know, she didn't cry. She didn't bawl. She didn't lose her composure. If anything, it was the opposite. She was very elegant. She was, you know, very controlled. But obviously that thought of that patient, you know, brought back a memory that just sort of choked her up. I'll put it to you that way. And that was so moving to me. And I said to myself, you know, that reminded me of a picture that I had come across a few years ago. That was posted on Reddit, I think in 2015, about a doctor in the emergency room that had just lost a 19-year-old patient and went outside to a cement wall and basically kneeled down with his head against the wall and just started to cry. And one of the EMTs took that photo, and that photo went viral. A lot of people, a lot of survivors may have seen that photo. A lot of people may have seen that photo. And he brought up the question, Angel, since we're talking about what you want in your oncologist, is it okay for a doctor to cry with you? We know that there's no crying in baseball, but is it okay to cry in oncology? Before we do a deep dive, do you have any thoughts, Angel, just sort of like your instinct before we begin?
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand both aspects of it. I would say that this is going to sound so vague, and I apologize in advance. I would say it would probably have to determine. It would determines on the criteria. I think if we all know the end game, I think it's okay. I also think that the professionalism of a doctor not crying shows a positive hope that there's a possibility that something can be done. I think if I was the patient and the doctor cried, I would think he gave up, he or she.
But excellent. I sense some like a conflict. And you want to know the truth? I'm going to give you guys the surprise ending. It is very conflictual. And we are going to talk about both sides. And then Guess what? I'm going to give you my opinion, which is likewise conflictual. So, Angel, I'm not going to hang you out to dry today. I'm not going to tell you what are you talking about. I'm going to actually support you today. So as co-hosts should do for each other. So before we start, I do want to share my resources because I don't want to pirate anybody's work. So the two sources I used for today's podcast, one was a blog by a woman by the name of Anne Goulard, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing her name incorrectly. But when it comes to researching and doing a literature search on crying in medicine, her name comes up often. And then there's an article that I saw that I really liked that was called The Physician Tears, Experiences and Attitudes of Crying Among Physicians and Medical Interns. And it's from a group of doctors from Tilburg University in the Netherlands, Dr. Jensen, Swartz, and Vingerhoots. And then we already talked about the picture of the doctor, which was from Reddit 2015, and Dr. Stegmeier's portion, Stand Up to Cancer commercial. And Angel, if you and Rod could put the two links to this podcast, to the commercial, and to that picture, I think that the survivors that are watching or listening to this
episode, I'm already ahead of you. I'm doing it now.
There you go. Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about Dr. Goulard's position. So in her blog, she did a survey of 528 people, and the vast majority, I think 391, said that showing emotion was good, with an asterisk. So we'll get to that asterisk. Whereas the minority said no, under no circumstances should a doctor cry in front of their patient. So let's qualify, first of all, tears and crying. And I will tell you what we're going to find out is that crying in medicine is very, 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 very common. The thing is that we cry, but the majority of time we don't cry in front of the patient. We either cry alone, as that ER doctor did, lost his patient, went outside and had a little bit of a sort of a moment, quote unquote, alone, or behind closed doors with, you know, with colleagues or with their teams or whatever, or with their loved ones. So the majority of crying is done without the patient. So we'll start there. And then the other thing is we're going to qualify, you know, exactly what crying is. So is crying actually, did what Dr. Stegmeier do, would that be considered crying? Not really. It was just a momentary, you know, sort of reset in her composure. That was it. It wasn't anything. It was just so moving that it really made more of a statement. And I obviously, whoever does the marketing for that commercial saw the same thing I did about how powerful that moment was, because it was real. It wasn't, you know, constructed or contrived. It was a real moment. And we're going to use that as an example as well. The other thing that I think we have to talk about is we have to talk about what is the motivation that's behind the crying. So if a doctor or, you know, care member team, you know, care team member does lose their composure in a circumstance and does cry, I think one of the other criteria is, are they crying for the right reason? Meaning, are they crying for the patient? Are they crying for the sadness? Are they crying for the suffering? Are they empathizing? Or did it trigger something within them? And I'm going to tell you, you know, having been in the field for 35 years, having gone through medical school and having, you know, observed my classmates and then my fellow residents and interns and then my junior attendings and then my colleagues, and over a 35, you know, 3.5 decade career, I can tell you the one word that comes to my mind when I think of my colleagues, I would have to say, if I was going to think of one adjective, I would say they are human, right? So they're human. They have human qualities. They are smart. They're intelligent. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're interesting. Sometimes they're not. And many times they're very flawed. And I think that it's important for people to know that when we talk about this particular issue, they're told, well, you know, doctors are not robots. We're not, you know, supermen and superwomen. I mean, we're flesh and blood, and we have the same emotions you all have. So I can definitely want to use that as a starting point, knowing that sometimes, and we also have our personal story. So I've shared a lot of some of the stuff I've been through with my upbringing and, you know, some of the not so pleasant and pretty things in life. And, you know, if I'm talking to somebody who's in pain and suffering and I start having that moment or lose my composure, but I'm doing it because it triggers something within me that's related to me, but not related specifically to the patient, then that moment does not become legitimate or does not become, you know, acceptable according to the literature and according to many experts and according to many people, right? That's what we're talking about. There is no right answer. There is no wrong answer. But I did want to bring that up as far as we bring our own issues and personal baggage into the mix as well. I also want to quantify extent of crying. So can crying be just like a momentary lapse, as I said, of composure, or is it just a few tears, or is it downright like Italian sobbing at a funeral, like where everyone's screaming and pulling in their hair? And with your last name, Santana, I'm sure similarly, you know, in the Spanish culture, it's kind of the same kind of screaming and yelling and whatever. It's not very stoic, you know, so there is a difference, and we'll kind of talk about that as well. So again, it's about the patient, not about the doctor. So that's important. That's one of the things where, even though in Goulard's blog, the majority of people did say it's okay to cry as long as it's related to the patient and not the doctor. And quiet tears, redness, eyes filling up, but not outright sobbing and wailing, as I said, me and you at our funerals, because that would actually make the patient feel very uncomfortable. So the two categories, okay to cry and not okay to cry. So according to the blog, it's okay to cry because you're showing your human side, you're showing your humanity. It shows that you care. It shows that you are strong enough to cry. It shows that you are well adapted. It shows that you are not a robot. It's okay to be empathetic. And as a matter of fact, it's important to be empathetic. We talk about it every podcast. It's okay to connect with another human and what they're going through. As far as not being okay to cry, you know, as Angel said so beautifully, you know, it's a loss of personal control. And sometimes patients could lose confidence when they see their physician losing control, because they need that to happen. There's a story, a political story, when Hillary Clinton lost the election to Trump. Apparently, she crawled into a ball for hours and, you know, just basically was inconsolable. So that's a problem. So if a person's going to be the president of, you know, the leading country in the world, and, you know, something affects you to that degree, you're going to lose your ability to be able to be effective. Hillary, I'm not sure if that's a true story or not, but that's certainly the story on the street. And believe me, I'm a libertarian, so I have no dog in the fight, so I couldn't care less. But anyway, as it relates to this podcast and this particular subject, you know, we want to make sure that that is not okay, you know, to actually lose control. Patients need to lean on our strength. Crying may imply weakness, as Angel said. Should not disrupt a patient's need to cry. We don't want to interfere with their process of purging or their display of emotion. And a lot of people think that doctors should keep their emotions separate from the patient. And it should not hinder our ability to comfort a patient. Again, they should not be comforting us. And the most important thing, we talked about when it's okay to cry or show emotion, that's to empathize, but not to sympathize or not to pity. We don't, our patients, that's the last thing they need is our pity. They need our empathy, but they don't need our sympathy, and they don't need our pity. According to some of the specifics of the paper, you know, and I'm going to actually have an issue with this, where they say women cry more than men. I know that sounds like it makes sense, but to be honest with you, having two daughters, I think that's a very conventional gender bias, and I probably don't think that's true.
Certainly in my house it does. Yeah. I cry more than my wife.
Yeah, right? Okay, thank you. And I'll tell you, I was very lucky in the mid-80s to graduate from a medical school where half of my classmates were women. So we had a very, very robust, you know, representation of both genders. And man, you know, they, you know, women and men, they were equally tough, both genders. Fantastic. It was an honor to study medicine with them. some people think that people that are more secure, feel more secure, are more secure emotionally, feel more comfortable expressing their emotions, and they're easily soothed. So if you're a very well-adjusted person, which I am not, then it's okay to kind of share your emotion, because then you're kind of, when it's time to really buck up and, you know, rein yourself back in, it's easy to do that. And that's thought of as appropriate. Whereas those who are less secure emotionally or less developed emotionally, it's harder and more intense, that feeling, that emotion, that crying, and less appropriate. Switching over to the paper, Jensen's paper, et al., with the gang from the Netherlands. Crying in medicine, Angel, as I said at the top of the show, is common, it's frequent, and it's understudied. So there are studies that are necessary. That's one of the first things that the major paper says. And remember what I said, 99% of the crying happens not in front of the patient. So just to make sure we're clear, you know, on what we're talking about. As doctors, as part of the healthcare team, especially in cancer, it is a daily occurrence to have to give bad news or to witness suffering or be party to suffering, loss. It's a daily task, and it can wear you down. There's no question about it. Getting to that picture from Reddit 2015 is an example of exactly that, where the doctor just was torn down by that loss. And then we get to, you know, the paper, and we look at the conflict. So Angel, when we look at this episode, hopefully on YouTube one day, and when I asked you the question of what your feeling was, just your instinct knee jerk, you know, you were kind of hemming and hawing because you were looking at both sides. And that really is the story. The story is there is no right answer. The story is there's an appropriate side on each side. So, you know, there is also conflictual representation in the literature. So, you know, you have the professional composure and maintenance of composure on the one side, and then you have the expression of your humanity and the expression of compassion, you know, on the other side. So there's sort of this tug of war, this war going on between the two sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people felt in the paper that physician detachment was good, was better than whether it was good, but not bad. And some people felt it was bad and not good. But everyone agreed not to be unprofessional or appear weak or not fit for the job. So funny story, my best friend in college and high school, you know, he changed his mind more than he changed his shorts, you know, what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he turned out to be a very successful attorney. But back in those days, he wanted to be a marine biologist. And we went crabbing one day in a rowboat, and he wouldn't touch the bait. So I said to him in the rowboat, I said, go, you know, not for nothing, but you might want to maybe change your career trajectory, because I think being a marine biologist, you're going to have to touch, you know, dead fish. So, you know, Danny did listen to me, and he changed his major to pre-law, and the rest is history. But, you know, with that being said, you know, I think that a lot of times, you know, doctors can cheat, because sometimes, and I said, I know all my colleagues, my fellow classmates, you know, many of us had some narcissism or streaks of narcissism. Many of us were on the spectrum, and we didn't even know what the spectrum was in like the 1980s. And many of us didn't have that ability to really feel others' pain, right? So a lot of us were not wired to even have this conversation about showing emotion or crying. And that's kind of cheating, because that's just kind of the way you're wired. But do these characteristics really make one a better healer? I think not, because, you know, I think the key, whether you cry or don't cry or show emotion or don't show emotion, I think that, you know, you have to have that capacity toward empathy, and that these traits that make detachment and perceived stoicism easier, it's really a cheat, you know, more than anything else. And I'll end the podcast with my point of view, which may be surprising, because it's the same as Angel's. It's ambivalent, it's contrary, and it's exactly like the data. And I bet you that would surprise a lot of you guys on the podcast who know me and listen to me every week. knowing my unconventional views, patient first attitude, my pleas for accessibility and doctors sharing their cell phones, my advocacy for the survivor, and for expediency and for doctors to get off their ass and call their patients and get results to them and get their treatments going as quickly as possible, and my plea for informality, and, you know, my historical, you know, home visits and bedside, you know, delivering bedside food for families that are on, you know, the death watch or the hospice watch, and going to wakes and funerals and even saying a few words at people's, you know, repasts, you know, would probably think that I would be absolutely on that soapbox saying that it's good to cry and you should cry and you should show your humanity. And part of me does feel that way, but also part of me also feels that at the end of the day, as long as you could still feel, as long as you could still suffer as your patients suffer, and as long as you could still stay up at night worried that you did the right thing, you made the right decision, you gave the right treatments, and you take responsibility for the pain that we all, as doctors, oncologists, that we you know, bring upon our patients, which are directly on us, that we try to, you know, forget about, then it may not be necessary to lose that momentary, you know, moment, you know, to have that moment of you know, of quivering or that moment of loss. And I think it's important. Part of me says that it's important to be the rock, you know, the one constant point of stability for your patients, and the piton on the wall that our patients can clip into and grasp for the life. But sometimes, again, when you least expect it, and this is, you know, this episode is dedicated to Dr. Stegmaier, you might tear up, you might get red, your voice may quiver, and it's completely acceptable and okay. And I think that that's really Dr. Stegmaier's moment. My motivation for today's podcast is really what really wins the day at the end. And I wanted to thank Dr. Kim for that. Angel Santana, you always get the last word.
I mean, I think that this episode requires a follow-up. I think we also should touch base on when it's okay to cry after having really very good results. Because, you know, you put all that work into everything and you end up getting very good results and you feel as if all the work that has paid off. So that's one way I was going to start off. I'll start off on a positive note. Bottom line is this: we are all human. We all have feelings. We all express our feelings differently, whether it's professionally, whether it's emotionally, whether it's just in a way of holding back. I think at the end of the day, it's all about giving ourselves the opportunity, whether it's in closed doors, behind closed doors, or with the patient, to express those feelings, because all in all, we need to get those emotions on track.
Angel, as always, beautifully said. I wanted to thank you always for your beautiful and you know, for those of you who don't know, Angel's podcast, Have Faith, Let It Begin, an inspirational podcast. You know, he would certainly be one to empathize and understand about that. He prays over people, with people, remotely, on site, face to face with people every day, and he cries with people. So he kind of gets it and he understands. Angel, thanks for being the best co-host ever. Rod Freeman, small biz up. Rod, a little small bump in your journey. We're all praying for you to get back to work, because we sure need you. So get off your ass and let's go, man. Let's get shit going. To the amazing board of directors of the Croc Nation, God bless you. Thank you for sharing your talents and your time for our cancer survivors/thrivers. You guys are amazing. Thank you very much for helping. To Michael John Benzea and Charlotte Larson, our very generous donors, who helped make this podcast happen. Thank you for everything you do for us. Want to take a moment and do our pep talk. You guys are going through basically the trial of your lives. This is the most devastating and difficult road you've been through. You have been diagnosed with a very scary diagnosis. You have had very toxic treatments, And there are going to be some really bad days where you're going to get some bad news and you're going to get, you know, very, very, you know, emotional at times. And in those moments, in those small pockets where you're connecting with your oncologist, connecting with your care team, and you have a tear and you have a moment and you notice that they have that moment where their face gets red and their eyes tear up and they have that quiver in their voice. And I want you to take that as someone who really cares about you, as Angel and I and the board of directors do here for you guys, for our survivors. You guys are very special. You guys are very worthy. You guys are very brave. You're very courageous. You're very intelligent. You're strong. You are absolutely going to beat this. You guys are survivors. You guys are warriors, and you guys got this. And we end this podcast as we end every single podcast, wishing you all on the behalf of the CROC, behalf of the CROC organization and the board of directors, a very long, healthy, and happy cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.